Lord Jesus came in and filled us and brought the Holy Spirit and empowered us. I mean, we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. God said that His covenant He will not alter nor change the thing that has come out of His mouth. And He said, I am the Lord your God in the Bible, and I don't change. So that tells me if He rolled back the Red Sea back then, if He needs to roll back the Red Sea here in 2022, 3, whatever it is, He'll roll it back. He is the Lord our God that healeth us. The Bible said He sent His word and healed them and delivered them. Hallelujah. Well, see, that right there, when I put my trust in the Lord based on what I just said, then when sickness comes, I just resist it. God asked me today, walked in, we told him out there, and he said, how are you since your heart surgery, man? I said, there ain't many 30 years old can keep up with me. I said, I'm in better shape right now than I was 10 years ago. But you know, I don't attribute that just to being strong and strong-willed. I attribute that to Psalms 91 where he says, long, satisfied life. Well, like not long, weak, broke, oppressed life. That's not what the word says. So see, the word brings faith and then it transforms. Come on, somebody. Whenever you're activating and walking in faith in your life, and it's a choice. We choose to operate in faith. We choose to yield to faith. Faith is an inspiration. It's an inspiration from the Lord that brings vision in your spirit to your mind that you can and you are healed. That you are the head and not the tail. That you do lend and not borrow. That you are above and not beneath. That you are the head and not the tail. Now see, these things, once we start to get a hold of them, we got to be persistent. Somebody say persistent. That means day in and day out on that promise, getting it on the inside, renewing our mind to it, saying it out of our mouth. Some people don't like to confess, but you know, that's up to them. But as for me and you and our house, we are going to do it. Why? Because we will receive the promises of God's word. Long, satisfied life. I'm confessing that over myself. I'm catching up with you, Mac. Still, I'm catching up. It's going on by, you know. And so in my mind and in my heart, I am taking Psalms 91 and I'm putting it out into my future, hallelujah, that I will have long, satisfied, not weak, when I do feel weak, I never comes out of my mouth. The Bible says in Matthew 6, take no thought saying. You got to keep that stuff out of your vocabulary. I'm weak. I'm just getting older. That's what the world does. They'll say, well, you know, when you get older, you're going to lose your eyesight. You just watch and see. And then that's what's going to happen to you when you get old. You just get weaker and weaker and weaker. How many knows the Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove. The word prove means to walk out. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? What is the will of God? That I have long, satisfied life. So that's what I got to believe. Somebody told me, well, what if it don't? One time told me, said, what if it don't happen? I said, what if it does? What if you're not healed? What if I am? What if you don't prosper? What if I do? What have I got to lose? I got nothing to lose. I had nothing. All I got is gain, gain, gain. And you know what? When you spend time meditating on the word, the contractor called me today and he said, whoop, tell your guys to get ready. I said, what is it? He said, I need 22 doors right now for this job. He said, and he pulled it up and he said, and I got this project and this project and this project. And it ended up being 250-something doors. I thought, I don't know if I want to tell my guys or not. I don't know if they're up to speed yet, Mac. I'm getting excited. Why? Because the promises are to Scotty, yes, and in him, amen. I'm the head, not the tail. I can see it coming. I already am. I lend and not borrow. I was 27 years old and broke, and preachers told me that I signed up for poverty. They didn't mean to. I'm not downing them. You know, that they did, they didn't. You know, I got in there, and I'm like, oh, man, I hate this, you know. I'm selling marijuana, making money, man. I've been working three jobs. I was after money because I wanted to have things. I wanted to have a good life. I wanted, you know, things and all that. So when I got saved, and then I got in that Bible. I got in that Bible, and how many knows the Bible says in Romans 10, 17, how does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So preachers told me, you're just going to be broke if you're called to preach. Because they won't take the offerings at church. People won't give. And God began to teach me right off, don't put your trust in men. Put your trust in the living God. Don't put your trust in the church to give in offerings. Put your trust in me. It don't say have faith in the church. It don't say have faith in people. Don't have confidence in it. It says, have faith in God. Right? Now, however, God, that's Mark 11, 22. Have the faith of God. Have faith in God. And so I started reading the Bible. It's good to read the Bible. I know sometimes we don't want to read, you know. I never did like reading. That was one of my worst subjects in school, reading and spelling. Now, math. I was good at math. Why? Counting that money. Oh, yeah, yeah. Made $3.80 today. Pretty good score that day, Mac. But, you know, the Word of God, see, it is spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12, the word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two. Living, it's living and energetic. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes into all our life, he goes on to explain, and discerns our thoughts. I mean, causes us to pick up on a thought that is from the enemy or from you or the way you feel. I was thinking about it today. I thought, Lord, I've had to not go by how I feel in my life, in business, in ministry for many, many years. And it pans out when you get used to walking by faith, walking in faith. That's confident in, that's full confidence in God's promise. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And you know what? I found out, but God, that Jesus took on himself poverty that I might be made rich. So I went back to those preachers. Not in a bad way, Mac, to make them mad or nothing. And I told them, I said, why didn't y'all tell me this was in the Bible? Does it say that? And I said, yeah, where did you learn what you know? Just the church? The church did. And I told them, I said, don't you know that the church don't know everything yet? But the Holy Spirit does. And if we go to the Holy Spirit and we get in the Word personally ourselves, see, each one of us, God has a plan for our lives. And a lot of it is the same in the Bible. But as a lot of it is not in the Bible, the purpose and plans that God has for you. But when you seek the Lord and you go after him and you meditate on the Word and you start laying hold of God's promises and say, I'm not going to turn this loose and I'm going to do this persistently day in and day out, he begins to reveal things because of the course that he has for you that he's not revealing to me. Give me that Matthew 6. Well, I found out that Jesus took on himself poverty that I might be made rich. And you know what? Every time I would say rich in certain churches when I was preaching, they would absolutely think that I was talking about money. They would just jump to that conclusion right off. He's another one of them money preachers. He's another. No, I was a 27-year-old that had a shattered marriage, a shattered life, shattered financial life. And then I come into the kingdom of God, and God begins to reveal to me that I can, through him and in him, have a good life, and I'm living it. You can live it. You ain't got to wait 30 years to live it. You got to, all we got to do, look, God's not saying, I mean, he even did that when he told them, bid them to come and work. One went at one hour, and one at 12, and one at 2. At the end of the day, they all got paid the same. In other words, they something in that. You know, somebody could come into the kingdom and get a hold of the things that has took somebody 13 or 15 years. They can take right hold of it and start flying with it. That's just the way God is. But Matthew 6 here, he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't worry. The word take no thought means don't worry. Don't worry about your bills. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry. He says, don't worry. That's what it translates. The King James, if you go back to the Greek and study it, it says, don't worry. Somebody say, I'm not worrying. Now look, you're going to have to make up your mind not to worry. It's easy not to worry right now. We got an anointing flowing in here. Okay? We got an anointing in here. We get all excited. We're like, whoo, glory to God, I'm not going to worry. But tomorrow comes. Tomorrow comes, your lot bills up, groceries went up, steaks went up, you know, all that's going up, things are happening, you know, all of that stuff. That's when you got to decide. It's when the test is there. It's when the test is there. Then when you decide not to worry, here comes God's provision. I'm telling you, when you will you refuse, you can train yourself not to worry. I was in amongst a bunch of preachers. I'm not downing them. I'm not judging them. You know, I mean, and they was all talking about worried about this, and worried about this, and worried about this, and I'm standing there listening to them. And I done read this. Don't worry. Jesus commanded us. That's red letters. And I'd made up my mind, but God, if God says don't worry, then I got a choice. I don't have to worry. I got an anointing from God. I got faith now. I got the word on it. And so I've been working on not worrying about losing my wife. I still got a beautiful wife, boy. She's a knockout. I don't have to worry about it no more. Yeah, I got set free. I quit worrying about it. Put her over in. How many knows when you quit worrying, that's when you're turning it over to God. That's when you know you're turning it over to God. You're entering into that spiritual rest that's there. And you know what? He says, don't worry. Take no thought. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food and drink, more than meat, and the body than raiment? Go ahead, Jack. Behold, the fowls of the air. And then he goes talking about the birds. I ain't never seen a bird go and store up a bunch of ants or lizards or grasshoppers. I've never seen it. I've never seen them be like, winter's coming, guys. Let's flock all these barns and stuff and gather all we can up. No, God takes care of them. And he's talking about that. He said, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? We're created in the image and likeness of God. I mean, we're supposed to think like, man, God takes care of the birds and all of this stuff. He's done supplied, and that's the way he'll do us no matter what season we're in. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? You know, you're not, you can't, I mean, Monty can worry all he wants to. He ain't going to get no taller. Pick on Monty. Asked the guy one time, with them preachers, they told me. I forgot, I was telling you. That's important. Holy Ghost wants you to hear it. Y'all already know it, but it bears in this message. They're all that, and I said, I don't worry about nothing. I said, Jesus said, don't worry. I said, he commanded us to worry. One of them looked at me and said, Mr. Weston, you have to worry about something. I said, no, I don't have to worry about nothing. Jesus, if Jesus said I don't have to worry, then, by God, I don't like to worry anyways. I quit worrying, Mac. I don't worry. It tries to get me to sometimes. Circumstances, jobs, you know, different things tries to get me to worry, tries to get you to worry. But we train ourselves. We're not. We cast it over. That's why Paul told him, cast in all your care over on the Lord, for he cares for you. You know, the Lord taught me to cast because he told me one time, just put it in my heart, give Teresa to me. And I thought, nah, man, I don't want to give her to nobody. I wanted to keep her, Mac. But see, that wasn't what God was, because I thought, nah, man, God's going to take her, man. You know, he might take her. I mean, I worried about that, whether I should give her to God or not. But see, what God was saying, and then I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know how to give her to you, Lord. I don't know how. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to God and saying, God, I don't really know how to serve you. I don't really know how to please you, Lord. But you reveal to me, Lord, and I'll be a candidate for it, Lord. He'll do it. He'll somehow show you, you know. And so the Lord showed me then, and I had a revelation of my imagination. How many knows God give you your imagination? You can see yourself defeated, or you can see yourself having victory. You have that power. The word generates the force to use your imagination. You can use your imagination in the anointing and the grace of God and have what your desires come to pass. Hallelujah. It's how it works. But anyways, he said, close your eyes. He said, imagine, I just had this thought. I didn't hear no voice. It's just, I just know, I knew what to do. How many knows he'll, when he quickens you, you just know what to do. But that is the voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. But he said, imagine my hand coming down. He said, and out of heaven, he said, and see yourself putting her in my hand. So I thought, that's stupid, you know. How many knows that does seem stupid in the natural? That's why I say, Scotty, he's a little far out. No, I'm far up. I'm not far out. This Bible takes me up. This Bible takes you up. He said, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not far out. The whole church ought to be operating in this kind of stuff. You know, they wouldn't be worried. They wouldn't be, I mean, just Sunday, run day praying for somebody, and worry was causing them to have stomach trouble. Worry. I mean, those worries not good for you. Worry can cause physical stuff. It causes things in your body, you know, to be released and stuff. Different things, hallelujah. But rest is healing. Rest is healing. But anyhow, what was I talking about? Giving her to Teresa to Jesus? Well, you know what? I practiced that. And before you know it, I was settled that he had her. And he had her in his hand. And I would be able to live a good, long life with her. That's all I wanted. That's all I ever wanted, you know. And I was able to give that. But you know what? It wasn't about me really being able to keep her. It was about me not running her off with jealousy and fear and worry and all of that stuff, you know, causing her not to want to be with me. Who wants to be with somebody that is uptight 24/7? That accuses them whenever they're not doing nothing. I'd leave too, Johnny. Nobody wants to. So what God was doing, he was liberating the whole family. See, whenever he's inspiring us to come on in him and have faith in him, he's not just got right now at heart. I mean, his thoughts are bringing us from faith to faith and from glory to glory, one level of victory to another level of victory, one level of glory to another level of glory, hallelujah, to reveal himself to us and in us and through us. How are we going to let our light shine if we're not believing God? I mean, believing God will cause you to stand out from the world. You won't even try to. Went into my boss one time, and I'd got saved about probably been about 3 months, and I just got into the Bible. I took me a New Testament, man. I'd go in and tell Teresa, don't let Travis come in, you know, because he won't spend time with Dad and, you know, and different things. But I'd made up my mind that I'm going to read that Bible for just a little while. Every day I'm going to read that Bible. I'm going to read it at home. I'm going to read it at break time instead of sitting around with everybody, you know, shooting a breeze or whatever, you know. And so I purposely separated myself, you know, at things, not because of anybody, because I'd heard at church, you know, if you want more of God, then go after Him. If you want more of Him, if you want more revelation, get in the Word, read the Word, you know, meditate on the Word. And I didn't hear it too much at my church, but I heard it on TV. We had the praise-a-thons going on then. That's how Teresa got saved. So don't knock TV preachers. I mean, she got saved in our living room by a bunch of teenagers on the beach, and they were playing volleyball and all that. Then they started ministering the gospel. And all she wanted was to have fun or whatever, happy, joy. And she seen joy on them. And they led her to Jesus in my mama's living room, right in front of that TV. Wasn't no preacher there or altar. And she got born again. I come in, I could see it in her eyes. I'm like, what happened? I mean, she just looked happy. Well, she was. The Bible says the joy of the Lord, right? That's what came in. She started having love, joy, peace, fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Anyways, I went in. I'm going to work, you know, and I read in the Bible it says, let a man work with his own hands. Let him steal no more. But let him work with his own hands that he had to give. And I thought, man, I can't steal nails no more. I can't steal felt no more. I worked at a lumber company. If I needed a window, man, I load it, stop down the road, throw it out, go on, pick it up after work, you know. I figured the fat cat he don't need the money like I do. I need a window. That's the way you are when you're lost, man. Yeah. And so now I'm reading that little New Testament, and it says let those him who stole steal no more. I thought, man, gosh, I won't never have nothing now. If I wanted radio, I smelled good. That parking ride places, I'd break in and get me clone and radios. And I don't like to tell you that stuff, but that was the old man, you know. I mean, I figure, hey, that's the best way to get it. I sure didn't want to work for it. Well, now the Bible's telling me don't steal no more. That word said don't steal no more. And I thought, man, I said, okay, all right, I'll never steal nothing else. And God began to give me tests right after that. How many knows when God begins to lead you into something, I mean, just like school kids that, you know, they're going to have a test at the end of the week or whatever the case might be, and they give them the stuff to do to get worked up for the test that they're going to get graded. That's exactly somewhat the way this thing works. And once they study them for that test, that gives them where they can make a straight A. I asked one of the boys the other day, I said, you're making straight A's? Nah, I ain't going to say what there was. I said, why not? I said, are they anybody in your class make straight A's? Yeah. I said, well, then you can do it. The problem is you're not studying. How many knows the church can be like that? Now, I'm not on y'all. Y'all be F's if you want to. Don't wind us when they won't take you in college down there. We'll put you to digging some ditches. $6.50 an hour. We don't care if they are paying $15. We're not in the union. Pay what you're worth. We still believe in the system here. Anyways, I'm messing with you. But you know what? After about 4 or 5 months, I was like, man, I got to go. I want to be the best I can be at my job. You know, this is the Holy Spirit doing this, and I don't even really realize it. So I'm changing things the way I work. I'm working as unto the Lord. So I read in the Bible, work as the Lord, not as unto man, you know, and all that. So I started working for the Lord instead of working for my boss. In other words, I wanted to be the best that I could be in there. But anyhow, I'm just telling you this for a reason. But I'm reading the Bible, and I'm praying, and I'm fasting, and I'm being changed, and I'm being transformed. And he does it the same way today. If I do what I did back down there when I was a youngster in the Lord, if I do that now, he does the same thing. He strengthens in revelation and wisdom, and I mean the same thing. Things ain't changing. I don't need no big boom revelation. Just make I in the Bible real to me, Lord. Well, wasn't too long after that, my brother come to me and he said, Jack wants to see you in his office. I thought, oh, great. Usually when Jack wanted to see you, he's the boss. You know, something's going down. You know, you're in trouble. Something's going down, man. I mean, it's not going to be well. And so I thought, well, that Bible says all things work together for shit. I'm using the word, Johnny, back down there. And but God, I walked in there and he said, shut the door, Sugar, and sit down. Call me Sugar. Sit down. I sat down over there. He said, what's happened to you? I said, what do you mean what's happening to me? What's happened to me? He said, well, I mean, you're just different. He said, you're different. See, now I'm back to what I was saying. How can our light shine if we ain't shining? I wasn't trying to. I was struggling. I'm getting taunted at the time card. They're calling me Bible thumper. I mean, they're trying to make me mad. Because used to, get mad, I'd knock you in the head, man, you know. And so now they think because I'm a Christian, you know, he's got to walk in love now. So it seemed like that devil got in gear on me. Everybody there taunted at the time clock and all that. And I'm having to fight all that. So it ain't that I was super. I was just determined. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to knock their teeth out, man. I'm saved now. I got to walk in love. And see, that's what the Bible and the Word does for you. It separates you. It does it itself. Anyhow, I said, well, Jack, I said, listen, man. I said, I got saved. I said, there's nothing wrong with me. I said, I've just got saved, man. I said, and my life is being changed. I said, I can't explain it no different than that. I said, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't feel no different. I didn't think I looked no different. But my point in that is, you know, the transformation in our life will be noticeable to people around us. I mean, it'll be noticeable. It's like people people label me a prosperity preacher. I only preach the Bible. If it's in the Bible, why would I not want a ministry? Why would I not want to believe it? Why would I not want to eat it? It transforms my life. Well, I had one lady tell me one time, well, my husband won't let us grow. Your husband can't stop Jesus. Stop trying to get your husband or your wife to grow. 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 You decide. One of my sisters told me one time, said, well, we can't prosper financially. My husband, he ain't saved and he won't tithe. I said, don't try to get him to tithe. I said, you tithe. Whatever you get, if he gives you $100, you tithe $10 out of it. Don't try to get your husband. Don't try to get him to tithe. I said, God will prosper you in spite of your husband. I said, that's why he is a personal Jesus. He gets personally up in my business when I let him, praise God. It says, take no thought for raiment. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. Go ahead, Jack. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? He considers somebody that worries with little faith. He said, O ye of little faith. Then there's places in the Bible where they said, he told one of them, that lady, he said, I've not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. They can be no faith, low faith, great faith. And then he says, therefore, take no thought, saying. People say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? This government, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Gas prices, what are we going to do? Farmers, I've heard it. I got cows. What are we going to do? Got a guy I buy hay from. I made a deal last year to buy hay at the same price this year. He told me he would. And so this year rolled around and fertilizer went up and all that stuff, you know, and fuel, and hay wrap, and all that. I understand all that. I don't have to buy it. I understand it. And so anyways, I'm over there, you know, and I told him, I said, well, look, man, I said, I understand. Go up $5. I don't mind. You know, I'm thinking, I believe God $5 a roll, man. Hey, I don't want him losing, you know. Well, I go over there and load me a load, and I go back, and he shortened the hay down. I was getting six. Now I'm getting four, five, whatever it is. And so I thought, oh, this ain't going to work here. So I unloaded that load, and I done made an agreement to buy. And so I go over there. I get out. I don't pull my truck out in the field. I'm standing there, and a few minutes, he notices, and he comes around there. And he says, oh, it is. I said, I got a problem. What kind of problem you got? I said, I went and set one of these bales upside the bales I had bought from you last year. I said, they're that much shorter. I said, and I'm paying $5 more for a foot shorter roll. I said, that is the most hay on the whole roll is the outer roll. I said, I'm losing nearly a half a roll. I said, I have a problem with that. You didn't tell me. Oh, well, I mean, I got a different baler. I said, well, that's fine. I don't mind a different baler. I said, but I don't like that. I said, now you done messed me up. He said, how's that? See, what I'm saying is, God will give you wisdom, not panic and all of that. He'll give you, I said, now you done messed me up. How did I mess you up? I said, I knew how many rolls of hay I needed based on last year. Now you've shortened down the rolls, and I'm going to have to feed four rolls a week instead of three rolls a week, probably, or more. I said, because you took the most out of the hay. I understand these balers, you can cut them down or up, bigger, smaller. Same baler. You can decide what roll, how big you want them, how tight you want them. I've never rolled them, but I know. I bet you I could roll them. But anyways, I said, I'm not buying more of it. I said, I'm not gonna pay $5 for more hay and get less than I paid last year. Not gonna do it. I said, I figure, you know, that 30 would have made up for it. 35 would have been fine for the same. Well, let's drop it down to $5 or $5 a roll. I said, well, let's go get loaded. So we pull out there. I don't got a problem with that. You know, and I was leaving her, and I thought, you know what, Lord? You know, authority. We have authority. Not that we want to rob people. I was willing to pay the extra price, but don't do me like that. You know, I have an anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and the Bible says you know all things. And the Bible says in the book of James for us to ask in faith, believing, don't waver. Because you know what I thought? See, you're never strapped. I don't know why I had to tell you that story. It's not because I'm that smart. I kicked out of the eighth, left the eighth grade, slept through all the rest of them, had a mustache in the sixth. That's how old I was, man. They flunked me so many times they had to let me go to the next one. But now when it comes down to the word, see, faith transforms your life. It transforms your whole being. You don't feel, Travis, and he's seen this, and I've seen it with him. He goes up on the job ahead of me the other day, and this lady, she's the boss. Some women are the boss. You know, that man's just walking around, you know, whatever. I told one dude, I said, you better get in there and get your wife out here, homie. I said, because I'm not scared of her like you are. And I charged him $100 for waiting 45 minutes. I thought she was gone. She's in the house. He's afraid to go get her. She comes out there. I said, you been in there the whole time?
Yeah, I wasn't really ready to come out.
I thought it cost you 100 smackums. You just didn't know it. I charged you $100. Bless God. I said, you better get what doors you want figured out right here, ma'am. I said, I got other places to go and other people to meet that I done told them I'd be there, and you're running me late. I thought, she's going to cancel. I thought, I hope she does. She's going to pay me $100 for waiting before I leave. Well, what I'm saying in that, see, the Bible says the righteous are just scared little kitty cats. They're not arrogant, mean, and all that, but we're bold. We're bold. Our God, He's our supply. He's our healer. Travis and Jenny, she's up there, and she's, I don't know what she's saying. She's got an attitude. Oh, she's just went in there, and she's just boss. And I guess big boy walked out. I don't know. So I get over there, and he calls me up about something, going to make a choice on something. I said, well, I'll bear about 5-10 minutes. I go in there, and we're going to have to alter something. We don't alter nothing. I don't like to alter people's house without asking them, getting their permission, you know. So I walked out to the door, and I said, where's the boss? And so her neighbor's husband, and her husband, all three at one time pointed to her. I said, you're the one I need in here. Oh, yeah. Travis said, she totally changed. I mean, she was just sweet. I would have thought she's the sweetest granny up in Coleman. I mean, she was just super sweet, you know. And I told her what I wanted, and I said, I need your permission. Oh, whatever you need to do. We go out, and Travis said, man, she's changed. I said, it's called authority. I'm not there asking her what I need to do. I'm fixing to leave here with all of my guys, and I'm going to charge you to come back. You better let me fix it while I'm feeling generous. God, y'all are quiet. Y'all think that's mean? Some people call that mean. No, that's being the hand of the diligent will bear rue. I won't be robbed. It won't cost me. Up other day on the job. See, and I'm telling you this because the Holy Spirit takes things like that that He's done in people's lives and brings it to your remembrance when you need it in a time when things are trying to come against you, not necessarily right now. When things are trying to change and alter the things in your life that you're believing God for. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the standard's already been raised. Hallelujah. Jesus, His name was Jesus. Up there, we're 1 hour and 20 minutes from the shop, and so we called the dude to see where he wanted the glass sections. We do that by experience. You put it where you think, and then they want you to go back and move it. Well, it's going to cost you then, right? So I called him. I told him about the glass, blah, blah, blah. FaceTimed him. I like that FaceTime. I seen him. Gee. Making sure he's on, you know. He was ugly. So I showed it to him. And he said, I don't know, man. That kind of looks like a gap up there. I said, well, your header ain't right. Your header's too low. So it brought it. You wanted the glass in the top. And he said, well, what do you think? I said, I don't think nothing about it. I'm not going to make that decision. You are. He said, well, just what do you think? I said, I don't think. I said, because my thinking ain't going to cost me. I said, because I changed that now, but if I have to come back, it's not going to cost me. So I'm letting him know. You see anything wrong with that? No, ain't nothing wrong with that. Make your mind up, homeboy. It cost me, my guys get paid by the hour. Two of them on the truck, $50 worth of gas up there, all the way up there and back. See, the devil can't rob you. He'll give you wisdom. So I told him, I said, no, you make the choice. And then he said, well, just leave it right there, and then we'll see how it happens. And if you have to come back, I will pay you. That satisfied me. I said, yes, sir. Hung the phone up. Well, you know what? Could have been, if that wasn't the case, he just ain't satisfied when he goes up there. He did send a text. You can stick your fingers in there. We're good. Glad you can. You knew it. Just call me. I'm headed your way. Hallelujah. See, the enemy at a time robs God's people because of fear and worry and doubt and all of that, praise God. Do you know what? I get more respect out of folk by being bold and straightforward and blunt. I would rather you be that way to me. You know, I mean, I would rather, because people have confidence in you. They have confidence in what you say. If you say something, they know that they can put it in the bank if they've dealt with you any at all. And that causes prosperity to come to you. That causes people to be connected to you that wouldn't normally be connected to you, that can advance you. Hallelujah. That came out of the Spirit of God. God's word brings vision to the things that we can possess. Healing, prosperity. I'm going to prosper. There's no reason for me not to prosper. There's no reason for you not to prosper. Praise God. The Bible says if you'll give, it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. That's an abundance back. Good measure, pressed down. A preacher told me one time, he said, well, you know, God don't want us to give to get. And I said, why did he tell us that then? Why did he say in there? Now, I agree, he don't want us going after things and just be, you know, spiritual brats to him. You know, Daddy, I want my light bill paid and blah, 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 you know, and always want and never grateful and thankful for the air we breathe. And I agree with that. I agree with all of that. He even tells us in Deuteronomy, when I bring you out, when I bless you, don't forget me. And you know what I've seen? I've seen people that were poor, poverty-stricken, broke, oppressed, life apart, tore apart, and I mean, go after God and see them go after God and be desperate for the Lord, and then the Lord begin to bring the promises into them, and then the promises, they don't need God no more. So they begin to slowly drift away from God because now they don't need him like they did when their lives were broken. I'm not going to be guilty of that. The Lord told me in Deuteronomy 28 through the Word of God, I was reading it and I was reading blessed going in, blessed going out, and then I got on down and I read the next verse, and he says, and when I bless you, don't forget me. Don't turn your back on me. And I stopped and I thought, man, Lord, I would never do that. He said, I'm telling you. See, it's not that we don't need God. It's that he brings us to where we don't need anything much. And so if we're not careful, our heart can leave him. Our heart can drift away from him. The things we used to fight for, like the Bible says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Now it says that. What if they're not planted? The Bible says, and I read that back then and I thought, I'm going to always be planted in the house of the Lord. I'm never going to leave church. I'm going to, after I backslid and got out for just a little while, I thought, I'm never going to leave the house of God again. I'm going to flourish in the courts of my God, according to that scripture. It gave me vision that just being planted in the house of God, doing, plugged into the things of God, would cause prosperity to come to me. And it's called seeking the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. All these things will be added. And I read that one time and I thought I'm going to look up the word things. Because people get their opinion of what they think scripture is. One Christian told me one time, well, things means spiritual things. Spiritual things. And so when I read it, I thought, I'm going to get my Strong's Concordance. How many knows that Jesus didn't even speak English? He spoke Greek and Hebrew. So the Bible was translated by King James into the English, so me and you could read it without having to learn Greek and Hebrew, right? And so I bought a Strong's Concordance that has the Greek and Hebrew meaning of every word in that Bible. And so I looked up the word things, and you know what it means? Things, material. It says material. It don't say spiritual. But now seeking first the kingdom is what we've been talking about tonight. The kingdom is in us, the Bible says. Know you not that the kingdom is in you? the most valuable thing you can do for yourself is invest the Word of God inside of you and renew your mind with the Word of God. I mean, you're invested in the kingdom in you, and the kingdom will rise. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms over where David said, let God arise and let the enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? God arose. I'm not one bit scared of the devil. I'm not scared of him. I'm not scared of demon-possessed people, praise God. I don't say that boastingly or bragging or anything, but I read in that Bible that Satan was stripped of all power. I know that God has to have vessels like me and you, and Satan has to have vessels. It's not the person. So when you're focused in on that, you can cast that devil out of that person, and that person becomes who they are, that was before they got possessed with that devil. I mean, people today, I hear Christians, well, the devil, he just gained ground. He's gaining ground. He's gaining ground. The Bible says don't worry. That's worrying, ain't it? And you know what? My pastor, they'd come to my pastor and say, church is going to hell in a handbasket. He said it. I'd never heard that statement. But he said it one night. He said, people say the church is going to hell in a handbasket. He said, but I'm telling you, the best is yet to come for the church. And right then I realized, I looked around and I'm like, man, there's 200 people here. 150, 200, what are they seeing? What are these people thinking? You know, well, I learned right then that in the middle of God moving and God got somebody on a course, a vision that he has for them or a church or a ministry, the enemy tries to plant seeds of doubt and unbelief so that they don't believe him anymore and move forward. So I want to encourage you. Meditate on God's word. See, you can get familiar with God's word. And then not meditating on it. Well, I knew that since I was a kid. Yeah, but you forgot it. You mentally know it. But when something's living on the inside of you, just like I had this saying, I'll never be broke again another day in my life. Because money, I would say money cometh and money goeth. It comes and it goes. Something takes it every time. Well, I heard this preacher say on TV, he said, money cometh and money goeth. He said, I used to say that. He said, and the Lord quickened me and said, you're getting rid of it with your mouth just as quick as it's coming in. Money cometh and money goeth. He said, because you have what you say. He said, I thought, man, that's what's wrong with me. So I started saying, no, money cometh and money stayeth. It took me several years to turn that boat around, Johnny. I'd opened up a floodgate on that, and money come, never had enough, just barely getting by, never enough, never enough. Black God, I turned that boat around. How many know the Bible says in James, a big ship with a little, it takes a while to turn it around. The Bible says if we can control our mouth, we can control our whole life. So we ought to speak only in line with the Word of God. And that's not a religious thing. God did it. Jesus did it. He said, I only say what I heard the Father. I only do what I see the Father. He said, I come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And they rebuked Jesus because he told them he was going to die. He rebuked Peter. I believe it was Peter. He rebuked Peter. He said, you're concerned about the things on this earth, and I am about the Father's business. I'm about the kingdom. So we have to be like Jesus about the kingdom. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.